That you have a friend in Jesus. Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus and all
Bless you. Let's stand. Amen. It's great to have a Lord we can take things to in prayer, isn't it? Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Sing that again. Why don't you reach over and greet somebody tonight in the name of the Lord?
My chains are gone. Yeah.
you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Amen. We serve a risen Savior. Amen. It's good to be out in the house of the Lord this evening. God bless you. Have a couple of announcements here. Lord willing, our youth Bible study for ages 15 to 30, single, never been married, will be Thursday, January the 30th, here at the church from 7:30 to 9:30. And then the following evening, Friday, January the 31st, will be youth Bible study for ages 10 to 14. That's also from 7:30 to 9:30 here at the church. So try to get out and come to that. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Youth Bible study this month will cover the first part of Romans. Young people should read Romans chapters 1 through 7. Parents are encouraged to make these chapters a part of family devotions over the next 2 weeks. That's from Brother Trevor. So I'm sure that'll be wonderful and a good way to spend our devotions. Amen. I want to announce what we announced Sunday evening. Young people announcement. The church would like to invite the young people to go to the True Word Tabernacle Banquet in Bluffton, Ohio. We will provide transportation and chaperones for any youth wanting to go to the banquet. Recommended age is 13 and up. The banquet is on Saturday, February the 15th. The cost of the banquet is $30. Hotel costs will be shared evenly. Please let Brother Trevor know if you'd like to attend, as we need to determine how many people are interested to plan the logistics, and registration must be done by February the 1st. If you have any additional questions, you can direct those to Brother Trevor. I have a couple testimonies here. Sister Anna, I know that you guys had prayed for the gentleman that had surgery, or I'm assuming, is it a man? Yeah. Okay. The gentleman that had surgery on his hand Sunday morning. Sister Anna Pierce has an update on that. The surgery for my coworker's hand went great. He gets to keep all of his fingers, including the tips. Praise the Lord. He was also getting feeling back in his hand as of Saturday or Sunday. He was looking at being in the hospital for a few weeks, but now they are sending him home for 2 days this week. Then he is going back for a 12-hour surgery on Friday. They are supposed to release him again one day next week. I thank you all for praying. Please keep him in prayer for Friday's surgeries. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. He's an on-time God. I wanted to give a little update on Ethan. I know a lot of you had been praying for him, but we gave him medicine Saturday evening, and he had severe side effects on Sunday morning, and vomiting and dizzy almost till noon. Well, we lowered the dose a little bit for two nights, and then last night gave the full dose. But since no other time after he got prayed for did he have any other of those symptoms. So truly a God thing. There's no way you could give the same dose the next day and his body adjusts that quickly. So we want to thank God for helping him with that. So praise God for that. Amen. God is good. He's very mindful of us. Please remember my mom in prayer. She is going in for a heart cath Friday morning. That's from Sister Sarah Houchin. Prayer request for Sister Ruth Yancey from Byron, Georgia. She is having knee surgery tomorrow. Brother Daryl Layton is requesting prayer for Isaiah. He is having all of his wisdom teeth removed tomorrow. And Brother Japheth will be leaving here in the next day or two, traveling to the Middle East on a business trip. So I want to remember him in prayer for traveling mercies and safety over there. If you have an unspoken prayer request, just make that known to the Lord by an uplifted hand. Amen. Brother Caleb, would you come up and take these before the Lord? God bless you.
God bless you, brother. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time together, Lord, that we've come, Lord, to just worship you today on this midweek service, Lord. We thank you for all the testimonies that we've heard tonight, Lord. And Lord, what a great God you are, Father, Lord, that we would serve you, Lord. We're so thankful for your mercy and grace, Lord. Now these testimonies, I mean these requests, Sister Sarah's mother, Lord, she goes in for a surgery. I ask that you would be with the surgeons and look over and watch over them, Lord, and just guide their hands and whatever they may do. And just be in that, Lord, and help Sister Ruth, this sister, Lord, and just be with her and all these other requests that I can't really remember right now, Lord, but I ask that you would meet each one today, Lord, and bless this service and anoint the speaker to come, Lord, and break the bread of life to us, Lord, and just anoint us, Lord, and come and be with us today. Just love you and thank you for your grace. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. If the brothers would please come at this time. This is 164 in your hymn book. We serve a great God. Amen. It's good to be in service this evening.
I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Oh, come and pour to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me. Oh, come and pour to carry me home. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot.
Sister Chloe, would you come?
Me home, swing low, sweet chariot. Oh, come and for to carry me home.
Amen. As long as she wants to sing, I'm just going to encourage it. Amen. Hope this blesses you. God bless you.
Make me like a bride.
Thank you, Sister Chloe. Appreciate that. Amen. Is that your desire tonight? The Holy Spirit would burn in you? Amen. Why don't we stand and sing this as Brother Nathan prepares to come?
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. He can break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, Lord, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there is healing in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is healing in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Lord, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, I can hear my chains are falling. Yes, I can hear my chains. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there's a bride, she's rising up. Oh, there's a bride, she's rising up. By His grace, Lord, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army. Oh, there's an army rising up. Oh, there's an army rising up. Oh, there's an army. Break every chain, break every chain. Lord, come and break every chain. Oh, can we sing it this way together tonight? Oh, I can feel my chains, they're falling. Oh, I can feel every chain of doubt and unbelief is falling. Lord, come and break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Lord, come and break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there's still power, and it's in the name of Jesus. I know there's power, oh, it's in the name. Break every chain, break every chain. Oh, Lord, come and break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there's a bride that's rising up. Oh, there's a bride, she's rising.
that your desire tonight? Amen. God bless you. Certainly good to be in church again this evening. And let's just go ahead and turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and want to begin at verse 4. Pick up where we left off last week, looking at these nine spiritual gifts that are in the body of Christ. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same self, that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again tonight, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word, Lord, and we just ask that you'd come amongst us again tonight, Lord, and just anoint, Lord. We need you again this evening, Father. I pray that you'd anoint me to speak what you'd have me to say, Lord. Anoint hearts to receive. Lord, as we look into your word, may it, Father, just stir up our hearts to serve you better. May it put us into action, Father, Lord, for whatever you'd have us to do or say. Lord, may we find our place in the body, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. Paul, speaking here of these nine spiritual gifts as we know them, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now, these are differing gifts, differing manifestations of the Spirit. They come maybe on different types of people, but yet it's all the same Spirit that's wanting to work and move in the body. Brother Branham referred many times to different ones there in the 50s and 60s at the tabernacle that they were beginning to see manifestations of these gifts. He talked about Brother Neville with the gift of prophecy and Brother Higginbottom with the gift of speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues and different ones that he would mention there. And we'll maybe look into some of those things in the weeks following. But I just want to try tonight to establish a bit of a foundation on these gifts and some things that Brother Branham taught us about these gifts and their place in the local body. And you just pray with me tonight that the Lord will just really help us get settled on these things and try to find something that God would have for us. Each one as a member of the body, they have a place and they have a purpose. And Brother Branham tells us we'll look at it in the coming moments here if the Lord is willing and we get to a spot where we can get to it. Brother Branham tells us that some people are born that are gifted people, and God places in them gifts that maybe from a child they had a tendency towards some of these gifts. Maybe in their prayer life they would pray a certain way, or maybe in their mannerisms or their personality or whatever it would be, they would have already a tendency towards these things because of the gift that was in their life. Maybe it was to one of the five ministering gifts, as we'll maybe look at in the coming months, or maybe towards one of the nine spiritual gifts. And there are people that he referred to. Brother Neville had a gift of prophecy. God came and spoke many things through him in that manner. Different ones there with gifts of interpretation and speaking in tongues, that it was happening so often that he encouraged him to come early before the services about an hour, or even to have their own separate service to come together and to try to get in that atmosphere where God could begin to use those gifts. And so we find there's some people people that are born with a tendency to that gift, and they may have that gift all their life. Maybe at a young age they begin to see God dealing with them that way, whether it's a ministering gift or one of the nine spiritual gifts. There are other people that God could come and maybe anoint in a mighty way during a service and manifest one of those gifts through, and maybe it never be on them again the rest of their life. That's what Brother Branham says. Danny Henry got so inspired there when Brother Branham was preaching at Clifton's Cafeteria there in California, and he gets so inspired under the unction of the Holy Spirit, and he comes down, he begins to speak in a language that he didn't know, and it was actually a known language, but Danny Henry didn't know the language, but there were other people there that could speak French and recognize, hey, we can interpret that. It didn't need a spiritual interpretation. He was speaking in a known language, but God speaking through him something that he didn't understand. Brother Branham said there he was praying there one night before service in a hotel room, and Brother Billy Paul coming and knocking at the door, and he said, I just seemed like I couldn't get away. I was entered into prayer so much. And he said, all of a sudden I heard someone sound like outside the door. He said, I thought they were speaking in German. And he said, I thought, well, that hotel manager out there, he's not going to be able to understand them because he doesn't speak German. He said, but then I began to realize I put my hand to my lips and it was me that was speaking. And about that time, miles away, there was a lady that was hemorrhaging to death on the side of the road, and God interceding through him through his prayers. I believe that God still intercedes through people. I thank God. I was thanking a brother the other day. He was telling me how that he prays for me, and I told him, I said, if it wasn't for the grace of God and for the people that love me praying for me, there's no way that I would be where I'm at tonight. But it's just the grace of God and the prayers of loving family members and friends and different ones that have had a burden on their heart to pray, and it strengthens you in a time of need. Some of you even in sickness and things like that, or when you're going through a trial, I've heard many people say, I could feel the prayers of the people. I could feel something begin to change when the people were praying. What is it? An intercession of the body of Christ for those that are in need. Sometimes we know about it, and sometimes you're just burdened in the middle of the night and you don't know why it is that you're praying, or maybe even who it is that you're praying for, but a burden on your heart, God interceding for his people. So we begin to see that God uses different people in different manners. And as I said, there may be a time where you get so under the inspiration that you would give forth a prophecy, and maybe you think, goodness, I've never felt anything like that before. I've never felt to tell somebody something like that. And then it absolutely come to pass. Brother Bram said, that does not make you a prophet. There's a difference in a gift of prophecy and a prophet. And there's also a difference between somebody that's born with a gift and somebody that just it comes on them and anoints them once upon a time. Remember Saul, when he went down there and got in the atmosphere of the sons of the prophets where they were prophesying there with Samuel, he began to prophesy as well. And the saying went around and said, oh my, is Saul one of the prophets as well? But yet it wasn't that he was a prophet, but he got under the anointing of prophecy and God began to speak through him. I want to say tonight, if you can get under an anointing of God, he'll do things through you that you thought maybe you'd never be able to do before. Brother Branham says in Questions and Answers, The Law Having a Shadow, in 1954, he said, we believe in nine spiritual gifts, all nine of them. Amen. I never found where he changed this. So if you have a quote later where he said, I only believe in seven of them now, or only five, or only four, whatever, you bring me that quote. But I can't see where he ever changed this. So we believe in nine spiritual gifts, all nine of them. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, workings of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation in tongues. We believe in all nine of them. Now, the angel of God, 1948, he says, now, in order that people would see and know, God promised that he would send gifts. Is that right? There's nine spiritual gifts promised to the body. That is the body of believers. It's not for the unbelievers. Somebody come along and say, well, I don't believe God still heals like he used to. Well, that's okay. It's not for unbelievers. Somebody say, well, I don't believe in speaking in tongues and interpretation anymore. I don't believe that that's still for today. Well, that's okay. It wasn't for you then because it's not for the unbelievers. Somebody say, well, I don't believe anybody could prophesy now. Well, that's okay. It won't be for you then because it's not for unbelievers, but it is for the believer. He says again in The Signs of This Time, 1963, he also said in the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists, see it, all that for the perfecting of the body. And in this body, every local body, he gave 9 spiritual gifts, and those gifts are different kinds: wisdom, knowledge, speaking in tongues, gifts of healing, interpretation of tongues, and so forth. 9 spiritual gifts, all to show his love towards the church. See, that he wants you to stay in order, the great Holy Spirit himself being the tutor of the church. It's too bad we took a bishop instead of the Holy Spirit to be our tutor. See, it's too bad we took a bishop instead of the Holy Spirit to be our tutor. See, oh my, if we could just get back to the Word and stay with what the Word says instead of man's opinion. As we begin to look into this, we'll begin to see the importance of the local body. I believe in the spiritual body, the body of Jesus Christ as a many-membered body around the world. That's not just Church of the Open Door or some other church or name or flavor or group. It's a many-membered body, a universal body around the world. But yet there is also, Brother Bam talks to us many times about the sovereignty of the local church and the importance of the local church. Because without the local church, we begin to realize that, well, how can I exercise my gift that God's gave me? How can I find a place to be able to move and function and do what God is using me to do? So I thank God for local churches, not just here, but all around the world. I thank God for that. And, you know, many rise up and they begin to think that, well, we're the only one, and anybody else that's out, you know, besides us is out. I find recently that one of the men that pastors one of the biggest message churches in all the world, yet now he's begin to become a little too popular and a little bit too big for his britches and think that he's somebody, and now going in and a Catholic priest coming in and ordaining him and blessing him. And I thought, my, I don't want any Catholic priest ordaining me or blessing me. They can keep their blessings, because God won't bless what he's already cursed. Amen. I'm not interested in their blessing. I'm not interested in being part of their group. Amen. We came out of those things. I'm not interested in going backwards towards it. Now, if the man wants to shake my, well, boo devil. If the man wants to shake my hand and have fellowship, then that's all right. But I don't care anything about him coming and trying to ordain me in the church or give me his blessing in that manner. I don't need Catholic vindication. I'm not looking to that. There's other men in other countries that they believe you've got to come through them to get the Holy Ghost. I'm not interested in that type of Holy Ghost, because it wasn't just to any certain man, but it was to, you remember in the scripture there, Acts 2:38 and 39, it was to them and to their children and as many as are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It never said you can only receive the Holy Ghost if Paul is physically there to lay his hands on you, or Timothy or Peter or any other specific man. Neither in any other age did it name a specific man that physically had to impart the Holy Ghost to you. Now, there were men whose ministries to receive the Holy Ghost in your age, you had to be under that messenger for the age, but he never said you had to be under a specific pastor or a specific evangelist or a specific deacon, or that any man had to physically come, a specific man, and impart the Holy Ghost to you. But it's to, Brother Bam said, it's God wants to give it to you more than you want to receive it. Amen. So if a man comes to you and tells you, you got to come through me to get the Holy Ghost, you say, I have one intercessor between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. I love Brother Hoover, but he's not between me and Jesus. I love my mommy and my daddy and my wife and my children, but they don't come between me and Jesus. I don't have to go through them to get to him, but I have a direct connection to the throne room. Amen. That was not just for the pastor or not just for the prophet, but it's to each and every one of us. Brother Trevor keeps emphasizing it. I keep emphasizing it. And yet in this age, it seems like we get weaker and weaker and weaker on that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's easier for us to hold on to the prophet's coattails, or hold on to the pastor's coattails, or hold on to some spiritual member of our family's coattails. But I'm not interested in trying to get in on somebody's coattails, but I want to have a direct connection to the main man. Amen. It takes a personal relationship with him. It's not a second-handed relationship. Brother Bam said, he quoted David de Plessis many times saying, God doesn't have grandchildren. Amen. No, it doesn't matter how godly Brother Arnie is. Brother Jeremy had to have a relationship with Jesus. Doesn't matter how godly Brother Jerry is. Brother Nathan had to have a relationship with Jesus. I couldn't get grandfathered in on my daddy or my granddaddy or anybody else's daddy. I had to have a direct connection to him. Amen. And if you ever expect to accomplish anything for God, young, middle-aged, old, whatever you are, have that direct connection to Jesus Christ. Amen. All kinds of men raise up with ideas. Oh, you have to follow me. You have to follow us. You have to be a part of our church. You have to be a part of our little idea. You got to come through this man in Africa or that man in India or this man in Trinidad or this man in the States or this man in Canada. But I've already following the main man that I had to follow. I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sent me a prophet messenger in this age, and I'm not interested in following anybody else. Amen. I hope you're not here tonight to follow Nathan Bryant. If you are, then shame on you. We're not following Nathan Bryant. We're not following Church of the Open Door or some other minister or some movement in the message or doctrine or opinion, but we're to follow Jesus Christ and the messenger that he sent in this age. Amen. Amen. Paul said, "You follow me as I follow Christ." Amen. That doesn't mean that he can't use somebody else, but we don't make them an absolute that we go to follow. Well, Brother Hoover, should I do it this way? Well, Brother Nathan, should I do it that way? We're not your Holy Ghost. We're not your absolute. We're not your intercessor. We're anointed men of God that we hope can be a blessing to you with gifts that God has placed in our lives, but we're not here to take the place of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jehovah Jireh, 1956, all nine spiritual gifts should be operating in every local body. You got one where he took it back? Then I guess it's still the same even after 1956. All nine spiritual gifts should be operating in every local body. Why don't we see it more? Well, part of it is because people have been taught wrong around the message.
Amen.
That's part of the problem, and part of it is because we get so caught up with everything else that we can't lay in the presence of the Son and ripen for him to develop the gifts in people's lives like they should. Amen. We get so busy with everything else. My, to get here an hour early and pray about a gift, we'd be hard-pressed to find anybody that'd be willing to do that, wouldn't we? Jesus Christ the same, 1956. See, it's in the body of believers, and all nine spiritual gifts should be in every local body operating and manifest the church. Every local body. You see, there's a need in the local body. God places people that are gifted people in a local body. He gives musicians, and we're blessed with an abundance of that. Amen. We're blessed with piano players and organ players and guitar players and singers and all kinds of different violinists and celloists and drummers. We are blessed with that, and I'm thankful that we have a place where God can use them, because if everybody stayed home and streamed their favorite preacher, they would never be able to use those gifts. That's one of the reasons why I don't stream. I don't need to pastor the whole country, or why I don't need to pastor people in other countries or whatever. Oh my, we just love Brother Nathan. We'll just stay home and stream him and send our tithes to New Albany. Well, then the local body will die if you do that. The local bodies around the world will begin to die if you do that, to where everybody just, oh my, this one's our favorite. We'll pick him and go to his website. And well, we don't like him, but we like this other guy over here, so we'll pick him and go to his website. Brother Branham, if you go back and you begin to search the words universal and church, it's never a positive thing that he's talking about. I'm not here to establish a universal church, but we are here to be a part of a local church, which is a part of a bigger body of Jesus Christ. Amen. But it's not a universal church in the way of membership or the name of a church or the name of a pastor or anything like that. I'm not interested in that. The Pope has that plan, and it's working out pretty good for him, but we see where it's headed. Church Order, 1958. Now, we believe that these gifts are in operation today, and they should be in every local church. Now, if you have a gift to play the piano and you want to stream somebody in another country or another state or whatever it's going to be, how are you ever going to use your gift for the glory of God? Well, I'll stay home in my living room and play. Oh, that'll bless a lot of people. Well, I've got a gift, Brother Nathan, to do this and that, but I don't believe in going to church. I just stay home and I stream Brother so-and-so from this other state or this other country, and I think his ministry is just incredible. You, what do you believe about staying home and streaming? I believe that it's contrary to the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. People have asked me recently, so I just thought I'd tell you. He said, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." He didn't say stay at home and tune in. He said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Jesus, St. Paul, Brother Branham never one time tried to do away with the local body of believers. Amen. You never find it one time. They encourage the gathering of the local body of believers. Paul didn't say and write to the Corinthians, oh, now I'm going to keep sending you letters and you all just, you know, stay in your houses and hide out in your basements till I come back around to Corinth. He said, I'm sending Timothy and Titus and Philemon and different ones that are going to bring good tidings to you, and they're going to establish bishops in every local church. Amen. Hey, I thank God for the tapes. I thank God for tape libraries around the world. I think it's wonderful, but it didn't come to take the place of the local church. Amen. I thank God for brothers that God's blessed their ministries, and they have big churches and big ministries, and people that live in North Dakota and places where there's not any churches or message churches or Hawaii or something like that. They can tune in and listen to men like that, but I don't believe in sitting home in a church across the street that you could go to. Whether you agree with everything that they're saying or not, because Brother Bram said, if you can't get the whole loaf, go get a slice at least. And we're without excuse in this area. You've got plenty of message churches to pick from. If you don't agree with this one, you don't like the way we do it, we've got some other flavors for you within a few miles that you can drive, but go to church somewhere. Take your children to Sunday school somewhere. Stay in church somewhere and fellowship with the body. Be a part of the body of Jesus Christ in a local church somewhere. Somebody had text messaged me the other day. I won't say who it was. And they were talking about some difficulties and things that they were having. I said, look, I've never begged or tried to persuade anybody to stay here, but I would encourage you, go to church somewhere. Keep your children in Sunday school somewhere, or you'll regret it down the road one way or another. Somebody said, oh, well, we'll just stay at home. And that way, you know, when the squeeze comes and they begin to shut down churches, we'll already be prepared and conditioned to where we can just stay home. And and it won't affect you. You won't know when the ecumenical council comes. Oh, he said that the Catholic Church wanted to stop the preaching and teaching and the bride. A lot of them won't know when it stops because they've already stopped it and won't allow it. Well, it's Wednesday night. I just thought I'd preach, so. Amen. A lot of them won't even be able to recognize it when the ecumenical church begins to take over, because they've already become so ecumenical within the message themselves that they wouldn't recognize the move of the Holy Spirit if it jumped up and slapped them in the face. They'd say, oh my, I got cold chills. That was scary. Somebody screamed. Somebody shouted. I'm used to that quiet, still Holy Ghost, you know. Amen. Well, he's quiet and still sometimes, and then sometimes, oh my, you better be ready. Remember, Brother Branham said, that man said, oh, Brother Branham, I was enjoying this service till that woman got to screaming and shouting. He said, I don't know how you could preach like that. Said, sent shivers all up and down my spine. Brother Branham said, well, you better hope you never make it to heaven then, because if that little bit of screaming began to shake you up, you'd freeze to death if you ever got to heaven. Amen. Let's read all that he said. Let's quote all that he said, not just the ones that rub our particular doctrine the right way, but if it takes the skin off of us, if it takes the hide off of us, stomps all over our toes and we go home crying and feeling sorry for ourselves, let's take all that he said. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. They should be in every local church. Jesus Christ the same, 1961. He's got gifts in the church. There's 9 spiritual gifts set into the local. Each local body should be in full operation in every body, every church. Amen. I don't know about you, maybe you have, but I haven't heard any testimonies about anybody sitting at home archiving our services or streaming somebody else's services and them giving forth the tongues and interpretation, and who would judge it if they did? I've never heard of them giving forth a prophecy. Oh, bless God, I was sitting there at home watching my computer. I was watching Brother So-and-So on YouTube, and I gave a prophecy, and I said, I say unto thee, and there was no thee to say unto. This won't be popular, Brother Nathan. I'm not in a popularity contest. I'm interested in truth. Amen. See, the local body, people don't want any type of, they don't want any type of accountability. And so if you can sit at home by yourself and watch your computer, you don't have to pay tithes to a computer, first of all. So, oh my, there's 10% more right there. All I got to do is I pay the internet connection. That's my tithes. I send my tithes to Time Warner Cable or to Spectrum or to AOL or whatever it be. Amen. That's not where you pay your tithes. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, oh, I just don't know if I can do with 90%, Brother Hoover. Hey, I'm here to tell you, God has done more with my 90% than he could ever do with my 100%. Amen. Amen. He has blessed me more. You know, I find the more that I give and the more that I help brothers, you know, me and God had a little contest one time to see who could outgive the most. And you know, finally, I think he proved me enough to, he realized I was just going to keep giving. But we sent one time to Africa. I think there was a need, and I'd sit down to write a check when Uganda was having all those famines. And I wrote a check out, and I was, in my mind, I was thinking, I'm going to write $500 and send it to a brother that's helping some people in Uganda. And so I sat down and wrote the check out. When I looked at it, it was $1,000. I thought, well, praise the Lord. I guess it was meant to be. And so I sent it through one brother. And you know, it was 2 days later, a sister came up to me and said that she had had something happen where she had come into some finances and things. And she said, she had kind of inherited it through a roundabout way. And she said, I've got some tithes that I want to give to the church, Brother Nathan. I had a question about tithes. What should you pay tithes on? And I said, you pay tithes on your increase. In other words, if you go and you buy a $10,000 car and it depreciates to $3,000 and you turn around and sell it, you don't pay tithes on that $3,000 because that's not increase. But if you go out here and work and get a $3,000 check, or somebody dies and leaves you $10,000, that's increase. That's something you didn't have before, so you pay tithes on the increase. And she said, that's what I thought. And she handed me a check for $10,000. I said, well, praise the Lord. We'll send another 1,000 to Uganda. And I thought, this time, I know this brother's in fellowship with a certain group over here. I'll send it this time through another brother that is associated with a different group. And I wrote out another check to Uganda for $1,000. And I sent it. And 2 days later, a brother came up to me and said, Brother Nathan, I haven't paid tithes in about a year, and I just felt led to give you this, and gave me another check for $10,000. And we paved this parking lot with those two checks. I said, Lord, I can do this all year long. I'll write out another check to Uganda. But the story stops there. But God will bless you. He said, prove me. Prove me if I won't pour out a blessing more than you contain. I've seen it in action. I've seen it in action. I've seen people that literally you thought they couldn't afford to pay tithes, and God turned around and provide for them before the service was over. Multiple times, multiple people. I've seen God do it. Why? Because he backs up his word. The problem is many times we're too afraid to trust his word. I'm not preaching on tithes tonight, but that just came up for whatever reason. You know, as long as the church keeps doing what it's doing, you know, we're doing okay. The building, the electric's paid for. My salary's paid for. We're helping brothers in other countries. So, you know, whether one individual pays tithes or not really isn't going to affect me. If 10 more people start coming to church and paying tithes, my salary's not going to change at all. So I'm not here for your money. My salary's paid for. I'm here because I want God to bless you. Amen. And I want God to be able to do something for somebody else. We couldn't send checks like that to Uganda and different places and put roofs on church and send Brother Trevor back and forth to Africa and different ones if somebody didn't pay tithes. Amen. So I thank God for the ones that will obey his word. Well, amen. Sirs, we would see Jesus, 1961. I believe that every local church should have 9 spiritual gifts operating in it. Again, the local church should have these 9 spiritual gifts operating. Some people, they don't want to go to a local church because they don't want to have to pay tithes. They don't want accountability. They don't, if they decide to play hooky for 2 months and just not go to church because, well, it's summer and, you know, the lake's just right down the road, or well, we'd rather do this or rather do that, or, you know, we'd really like to spend our Sundays just driving around on Sunday drives, and, oh, we might listen to a tape, and, you know, the kids and the wife will fall asleep, and then I guess I'll turn it off and just roll down the window and enjoy the breeze, and we'll have had church, you know, in the car there, and everybody slept through it. And but you know, we'll do that because why? They don't want accountability. They don't want somebody that's going to pick up the phone and say, hey, we haven't seen you in 2 months. Are you alive, or did you get hit by a bus, or what happened? People don't want accountability. Amen. But God knows what he's doing, and God has a plan put in place for the bride of Jesus Christ if we would just follow it. Every local church should have 9 spiritual gifts operating. You'll never be able to use the gifts that God has placed in your life in the right way unless you're connected to a local body. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, I'm called to witness. I can witness out here on the street, not have I don't have to have any local church to do that. Bless God, hallelujah. Well, yeah, where are you going to send them to then? If you witness to them and they come in, say, oh, well, I don't really go to church. I just, hey, here's a website I can give you. A website can't baptize you. Amen. You see, usually people make statements like that, you know, to kind of slight the tapes or whatever, which I recognize the tape can't baptize you either. But neither can a lot of these men's websites that are making statements like that. Their website, they say, oh, God doesn't use mechanical devices. Well, if they believed it in the way that they said, they wouldn't send out their DVDs or CDs and they'd shut down their websites. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? I believe God can use a tape. I believe God can use an archived sermon, or I wouldn't have them up there for people to go back and listen to. But, my archived sermon can't baptize you. My archived sermon can't dedicate your child or come lay hands on you or anything like that. But we do have some brothers that's called and ordained and anointed to do so. And Mark 16 told them to go into all the world and to do it, to preach the gospel, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So we have a commission to do those things. Amen. I've never seen any spot in the message of the Bible where it told us to stop doing any of these things. So we'll just keep on doing them until Jesus comes. Amen. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work. Amen. Whatever he's called you to do, work for Jesus. Maybe he's called you to be a carpenter, but I don't think he did just so that you could. That's wonderful if it puts food on the table for your family and clothes on their back. But God didn't just call you to be a carpenter just to feed your family. But maybe he's got you out there so that you'll run across a predestinated seed that you can witness to. So you can work for Jesus with a hammer in your hand or with a microphone in your hand or whatever it is that you got in your hand. Do it for the Lord. Take what's in your hand. You know, Shamgar had an ox goad there, and you know, God didn't say, oh, Shamgar, sorry. I'm only calling guys that have staffs in their hand, or I'm only calling guys that, you know, have the Urim of Thummim on their chest, or I'm only calling guys that can pack the Ark of the Covenant. Sorry, I'm not calling you. No, he had something in his hand, and God put him in action with it. Amen. You take whatever's in your hand to do, and God can put you in action with it too. Every local church should have 9 spiritual gifts. Operating in it, affording according to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Again, thirst, 1965. Here's one past the seals for some of you that was afraid that he had maybe changed this all after, you know, that. By one spirit, we are all baptized into one body, which is the body of Christ. And in that body is 9 spiritual gifts operating through the local body. Now, if when the seals came and that which was perfect has come and all this was done away with, why on earth is he still talking about this in September of 1965 when he's going to be dead in a car wreck in 3 months? Why isn't he telling us we don't need those anymore? Why isn't he telling us we only believe in 7 or 6 or 5 of them anymore? He said, in that body is 9 spiritual gifts operating through the local body, the local church. That's apostolic if I ever knew of it. Amen. Now, you can scrub that part out of your MP3 or delete it, or you can erase it off of your magnetic tape or cut it out of your book if you want, but I'll just leave it there and take all the word if that's okay with you. That's apostolic if I ever knew it. What is it? The gifts of God moving in a church. Why? Why would God send gifts to a church? So that he can bless somebody, so that he can help somebody, so that he can use somebody to manifest his life and his word through. Amen. God didn't send 1 Corinthians 12 just to shred that part out of the Bible after a prophet of God came, but it's there for a purpose. Divine healing, 1954. There's 9 spiritual gifts, and they all might be working in one meeting. We don't know that. That's up to God. We might come into a meeting, and maybe none of the 9 spiritual gifts move. I would hope at least we'd have some wisdom and knowledge and healing and things in a meeting, but you might come into a service and you might not see any manifestation of the Spirit like that. Then you might come back in another meeting and all 9 of them be moving in one meeting. He says, we don't know that. That's up to God. God, you know, it's something about a gift. My car doesn't just decide, hey, we're low on groceries. And then we hear the car start up outside and all of a sudden what happened? Oh, well, you know, the Tacoma went to Meijer. Because we needed milk. But it takes an intelligent being to get in and turn the key and put her in gear and press the gas. And I don't ever want to come out here and just say, well, folks, it's Wednesday night. I thought I'd preach a sermon. Because it'll fall flat. But if God gets in and turns the key and puts her in gear, we'll have church. Whether it's me or a tape or anybody else, if God's the one doing the leading. So it takes an intelligence to get in and to operate a gift and to use it. Now, that doesn't do away. We don't just say, we don't need any of these things. We do need it, but it takes God to operate it. We can't come. I can't come tonight. I've seen God do the exceedingly abundantly. I've seen him heal cancers. I've seen him heal thyroid problems. I've seen him heal ear problems. A sister was showing us a picture. I want to try to get a copy of it and bring it here and show it to you. But Sunday morning, a sister was showing me a picture of her little boy that the last time her in-laws were here at the church, they had asked me if they could have the handkerchief that I preached with after service. And so I prayed for it before the service there. And as we was reading the scriptures and had prayer, I prayed and asked God to anoint it as a prayer cloth. And I preached with that cloth and they took it home. And their little grandson had a cyst on his shoulder. That he was a little 7-year-old boy, had a cyst on his shoulder the size of a softball. And it would bother him just his clothes to touch it. And he was beginning to get insecure about it. And they laid the prayer cloth on him and it began to go down. And by 2 months later, it was completely gone where you couldn't even see it. There is no anointing in my sweat. There is no anointing in this, whatever it is, 90% cotton, 10% polyester handkerchief from Dillard's. There's no anointing in that cloth. But what is it? Obedience to God's word. Obedience to God's word. Now, if I could have healed the little boy, then if I had the power to do that, then I'd go out and just heal anybody that I could that had a need. But I don't have the power to operate it and just say, well, bless God, tonight somebody's going to be healed. Who wants to be healed? First one up here is going to be healed. Oh, if I could do it, I would do it, but I can't operate it. Brother Branham said if he prayed for 1,000 people tonight and all 1,000 of them died, he'd be out preaching divine healing the next night. Because it doesn't matter how God chooses to operate it. God is sovereign, and we don't get to control the gift and say, bless God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to heal this one. I'm going to heal that one. But they're already healed. If we can just get the people's faith to a place where they can receive it. Amen. I can't heal nobody. Brother Branham couldn't heal nobody. He said if Jesus was standing here tonight in the suit that he gave me, he couldn't heal you because he's already healed every one of you. But there's something about it. The right time and the right anointing and the right faith to receive, and God comes on the scene and does something supernatural. If I could just force it into gear, I'd do it all the time. But Brother Branham said there in the 60s, his mother laying there dying in 1962, and he comes out and he begins to preach. He said, now if I was a healer, I'd certainly go and heal her. But he couldn't do it because he didn't get to operate the gift, but God was operating it through him. Amen. Anybody that has a gift, hey, you know, God has blessed some of the musicians and the singers here to where they have a talent to sing. Whether the anointing is there or not, they can get up and sing a song, but you can sure tell when the anointing's there and when it's not. Amen. I've got up and sang thousands of songs, but there's been some times where I was anointed where I felt like I could run through a troop and kick over a wall and kick devils in the teeth and everything else just singing a song. Why? Because his anointing was there. Amen. There's been times up here preaching that I was ready to just turn off the microphone and slink down to the basement and hide out because I battling different spirits or whatever it is, or maybe my own imagination or maybe a mixed multitude or whatever it is, and trying to fight through all that and get through it. And then there's other times where I thought, you know, like Goliath said, bring me a man. He didn't know what he was talking about, Brother Lee. They brought him a little boy and the little boy put him in the grave. There's been times where I felt like, you know, bring me somebody with cancer. Bring me some demon-possessed person or something. Why? Not because Nathan Bryant was up here, but because I knew who was up here with me. Amen. Amen. I'll face anybody in any situation as long as I know he's right here with me anointing me. Amen. I'd be scared to death to do it on my own. But I don't get to operate that. I wish I should just come out and say, Lord, give me the greatest anointing I've ever had tonight. And take off and run up and down the aisles and shout and kick over pews and scream and holler and jump up and down. Everybody go out and say, goodness gracious, what got a hold of the pastor tonight? But I can't do that. Oh, I could work up something and try to, you know, but I'd be a phony and a hypocrite. But there's times when he comes where you feel like you just want to jump up on the pulpit and start hollering and shouting and doing whatever. But, you know, if he leads me to do it, I'll do it. questions and answers on the Holy Ghost. So what is it? What is it, Brother Nathan? Why do you get excited? It's called stimulation of revelation. You should try it sometime. It's better than Jack Daniels. It's better than drugs. It's better than anything you've ever tasted. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. They got all these kinds of advertisements and stuff. Try the new this and try the new. Taste this. It's, you know, it's sweeter. It goes down smoother. All these different things. Oh, you just taste and see that the Lord is good sometime. And it'll do away. Every other taste that you've ever had will become so insignificant and back behind you. Taste and see that He's good. Oh my, that stimulation of revelation to be in His presence, to be under His anointing. There is, you know, there's sometimes I come up here and I stand on this back stairwell and I think, Lord, I don't know. These notes you had me put together, I don't know how I'm going to deliver it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't feel any more anointed than a jackrabbit standing back here. And I think, Lord, what am I doing here tonight? What I wish I could just come out and say, well, I feel led to just dismiss and go home. We've had such an anointed song service and everybody leave and saying, oh my, that was the shortest service we ever had. And my, I'd get all kinds of texts. God bless you, Brother Nathan. We got to spend more time at Applebee's tonight than we've ever had to be able to fellowship. And my, we got 2 more hours in the parking lot and not, maybe not feel any anointed back there, and then step out on the platform and here He comes, and you think, well, thank you, God, because I didn't know what I was going to do without you. Amen. I don't want to face a congregation without Him. I don't want to face a demon-possessed person without Him. I don't want to face a sick person or somebody with a disease or some type of emotional problem or family problem or whatever it be. I don't want to face it without Him, but with Him, I'll face anything He leads me to face. Oh, there's something about that stimulation of revelation, that anointing, that presence of God. All the places you could go, all the beautiful sceneries, the lovely private beaches that you could get and see just, you know, crystal clear water as far as I could see, and white sand beach down here and down that way, and so private that you never see anybody else coming down dressed inappropriate or anything, just be able to lay there, some cabin up in the Rockies, or hear the streams trickling down through and see the elk come out and begin to call to each other. All that's wonderful and beautiful, God's creation. But would I trade that or just to really feel His anointing in such a way where I felt like I was going to speak in tongues or shout and people screaming and praising and worshiping and being healed? Oh, give me that kind of atmosphere any day. I love the woods and I like the ocean okay, but give me Jesus. Amen. Give me His anointing. Give me His presence. You know, there's something about it. And no matter how nice it is, eventually, just like Brother Ben said, eventually you're ready to come home from vacation and get back to your own bed and your own life and all those things. But there's something about it being in His presence. I never get tired of coming back to it. Amen. I'd rather be in His presence than in my own bed. Now, if His presence is there and I'm laying in bed praying and worshiping, that's all right. But just give me His presence. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Give me His anointing. Something about it, you know, we must feel it here or we wouldn't keep coming back as much as we do. Questions and answers on the Holy Ghost, 1959. If I was pastoring this church, I'd tell you how I would have it set up, see, if I would be here all the time to pastor it. This is Brother Branham, 1959, in Jeffersonville. Questions and answers on the Holy Ghost. He's preaching the Holy Ghost series, and he's telling him, you know, if I could be here all the time, I wasn't out on the evangelistic field, and I was pastoring this church all the time, this is how I would want to pastor it. I would subscribe to every gift in the Bible if he was pastoring the church. Now, a lot of them that claim that he's the pastor of their church, they won't subscribe to every gift in the Bible. But he said if he was the pastor of the church, he would subscribe to every gift in the Bible. Amen. So if we're going to have a church, I want to subscribe to every gift in the Bible. If it's a musical gift, if it's a singing gift, if it's a preaching, teaching, whatever gift it would be, I want to see God be able to operate that. Speaking in tongues, interpretation, knowledge, wisdom, healing, divine miracles and things like that. Whatever it would be, I want to see God come and be able to operate those gifts here. I thank God for young men that are raising up with gifts in their lives. I thank God for young sisters that have a gift on their life and a calling on their life to do something for the Lord. To sing songs and play instruments and teach Sunday schools and things like that. Oh, we need them. Amen. We need every one of them. We need every one of you. If God's placed you in the local body, He didn't place you here just to fill a pew. As much as we appreciate the ones that do, He didn't place you here just to fill a tithe envelope every month. He placed you here so that He can mold you and make you into something, and then He could use you in His commission, in His work. Amen. He doesn't want you to just come and sit and fill. That's wonderful to sit and fill, but then go out and empty up and come back the next service and fill up again. Oh my, I would subscribe to every gift in the Bible, to believers first, to be baptized into the Holy Ghost. And then every gift of 1 Corinthians 12 would have to be operating in my church if I could get them in there. The whole body operating. So you see a pastor that discourages any of these gifts, and you have to wonder if he has the same agenda that Brother Branham had or if he has his own agenda. If I could get them in there, the whole body operating. The whole body operating. Not just up here on the platform. Not just the tape recorder. Not just the pastor with the microphone. Not just the deacons. Not just the song leaders. The whole body operating. Amen. That's what this whole series has been about. Trying to get the whole body operating. Because it's wonderful. If Brother Furman can yield, that's wonderful. It's wonderful the musicians can get up here and yield and seek the Holy Spirit and then play the exact songs that me or Brother Furman was going to sing. That's wonderful. But if you don't yield out there, it's not going to do a bit of good. Oh, we might have a good time up here and go home and say, praise God. He was sure moving on the platform. But He's not just God of the platform. He is God on the platform. Amen. He is the God of the prophet. Amen. He is the God of Elijah. He is all those things, but He's also the God of the congregation. Amen. Brother Branham said, we'll read it in a little bit if I don't run out of time. The Catholic Church, that's what they did. That's where all the confusion came in, was they came and tried to take Him out of the congregation and just say, well, we've got a bishop and then an archbishop and then a pope, and those men are anointed, and you come to them and confess your sins and do all that, and they'll have, you don't need any anointing, you don't need to read the Bible, they'll read it for you, and they'll tell you what it means, and they'll break it down for you. But that wasn't God's desire. God's desire was to be the God of the congregation. Jesus Christ the same, 1958. Then in every local church, there's 9 spiritual gifts should be operating in that church if they're a good praying congregation. If they're a good praying congregation, then there's 9 spiritual gifts should be operating in that church. Amen. Amen. So I hope that we're a good praying church. Amen. What are you trying to do, Brother Nathan? You trying to work up the gifts and get them in motion? Oh, let's just become a real good praying church and see what God will do. Amen. Amen. We don't have to work up nothing. You get where you need to be with God. You get in the channel that God has called you and brought you here to be, and we won't have to work up nothing. You stay in prayer and you stay seeking God. God, what would you have me to do? Maybe I'm not somebody that'll ever speak in tongues. Maybe I'll never have a gift of interpreting, or maybe I'll never have a gift of prophecy. But Lord, would you at least give me faith? Hey, that's one of the 9 spiritual gifts. Would you give me faith that when somebody else has a need, I can pray and have faith for that person? Would you, Lord, if somebody's asking me for counsel, well, could you give me a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge for them? Lord, if somebody's sick and in need, would you anoint me in a prayer line to be able to pray and have a gift of healing or a working of miracle through my life? God, just use me somehow. Use me to be a witness on my job. Use me to live a life in front of my children. Use me to get up and sing a song for your glory, even if I can't carry a tune in a bucket. It, Lord. Amen. Do something for Jesus. He said they should be operating in that church if they're a good praying congregation. And then the pastor, who should be the head of the church with the wisdom of God to have that church set in order, so no fanaticism, no nothing takes place wrong, just everything proven purely, the Spirit of the Holy Ghost working among the people, then you got a real church that's an example church to all the religions about. It's like a hive where the bees come, a lovely church. Oh, my. See, he said there should be a pastor that's the head so that fanaticism doesn't come in. Now, I recognize when we go to talking about gifts and we go to talking about manifestations of the Holy Spirit and things, just as sure as anything, if the devil can't keep you so cold and starchy that you don't believe in those things, then he'll try to run you out on the fanatical where you're trying every service. Oh, God, use somebody. Move through somebody. Show us something supernatural, Lord. Do something super duper tonight. Well, to me, as long as the word goes forth and it helps somebody, then something super duper took place. Amen. Whether we shouted or cried or whether we jumped or whether we slooped or stooped or dragged out of here and felt like somebody stepped all over our toes, whatever it be, as long as the word goes forth and it helps somebody, then it was a super duper service. Amen. But we do believe in the supernatural, and we do believe that God moves in that way. And, you know, we get so scared of fanaticism sometimes, and we get so focused on church order sometimes that we don't allow the Spirit to move. But if it begins to get fanatical, I believe by the grace of God, I'm man enough to be able to talk to somebody and try to set that back in order. But until it gets out of order, let's not be scared for the Spirit to move, because if it's truly the Spirit, it won't be out of order. He said, then you got a real church that's an example church to all the regions about. It's like a hive where the bees come, a lovely church. Oh, my. You know, I've been accused a few times of proselyting people. And I say to those people that say that, bring me somebody. Bring me a man, woman, boy, child, a little old lady, little old man, whatever. Bring me somebody that I ever proselyted. I don't know anybody that goes to our church that I proselyted here. Did I beg any of you to come? Did I text you when he was other churches and say, hey, leave that other guy, come over here to us, leave that other state, we'd like to have you here? No hands anywhere? Brother Joel was itching his nose, but no, we've never begged or persuaded or pleaded. I've never asked anybody to come that didn't have that had a home church. I've asked a couple people, not asked them to come really, but just told them they was welcome, that I knew they didn't have any home church. And I said, hey, we'd love to see you. If you don't have a home church, you're welcome to come and visit anytime. And you know, that I don't feel like you can't proselyte somebody that doesn't have a home church. So, but he says it's a hive. It becomes a hive, like a hive where bees come, a lovely church. Now, what I am guilty of, you know, we do plant good grass and have sheep food here. So if sheep come and they enjoy the sheep food, then I am guilty of that. And it has become, you know, it has become a place where it's just like honey in the rock, where people come and they enjoy the honey and they keep eating and they maybe start visiting on one night a week. And then before you know it, they're coming two nights a week. And then before you know it, they're there three nights a week. And what is it? Why? Is it because of, oh, Brother Nathan's personality, or oh, Brother Furman's singing abilities, or this one's ability on the music or whatever? Oh, I hope that's not why you came. I hope you enjoy those things. Although I don't have much personality to brag about, I hope you enjoy all the things that goes along with it. But I believe the reason people keep coming is because they recognize there's honey in the rock. Amen. Amen. There's something about it. They're attracted to it, that it keeps them coming back and keeps them coming back. And you know, I am guilty of trying to keep the truth before the people and trying to keep an atmosphere of love and worship where God can come, and an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can come and change lives. I'm guilty of that. I'll be honest. I am guilty of those things. So if that's considered proselyting, then my Brother Branham was the worst proselyter that ever lived. Because I'm sure it was an atmosphere when you were in his meetings that you just wanted to come back and come back and come back for some more. But there's something about it. The scripture said that where the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. So there's something about it that eagles have a way of finding food one way or another. You can't keep an eagle away from the Word of God. So we thank God, not just here at this little building, but all around this area and all around the United States and the other countries in the world, that there's little lighthouses that have sprung up where people can come and eat the Word of God. Experiences 1947. Moses never took the people across Jordan. There was a new order came. Was that right? Moses never took the people across Jordan, the church manager. Joshua took the people across. Is that right? And friends, our great organization is not going to take the church across Jordan. Now remember that Joshua come in on the scene. See? Oh my, Brother Nathan's going to tell us who Joshua is. No, I'm going to let Brother Branham do it. God is going to send the 9 spiritual gifts to the church. It's going to pull it together, and she'll cross Jordan. So be careful before you hit too hard against the 9 spiritual gifts. Because Brother Branham talked about it pulling the church across Jordan. Now, I realize that was way back there in 1947. But what he did say over and over and over and over again was that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is our Joshua. Amen. And the Holy Spirit uses those gifts, and he uses other gifts, and he uses people, he uses ability. He's anointed stored up food in this age, and he still speaks through that. We believe all of that, and we thank God for it. God is moving. Amen. The question isn't whether God is moving or not. The question is whether people can open up their eyes to receive it or not. The angel and the commission, 1950. Any group of people, any gathering of holiness people that believe in Christ has the right to have the 9 spiritual gifts. It circles through the body. It's in the body. It's not a praying individual. It'll be on this one here tonight and that one there the next night and maybe over here another time. This person can pray the prayer of faith tonight and maybe it's on this one over here the next night over on that. It's a gift that's in the body working around to all of you, milling through the body. 9 spiritual gifts. This one might prophesy tonight. There's where we get in trouble. One might prophesy and tell the truth. That doesn't make you a prophet. It might never come to you again. And if it does, and if it keeps coming, and you recognize your gift in that way, praise God. And if it doesn't ever come again, don't you ever try to work it up or manufacture it. You just thank you, God, for using me that time to speak to that person. I know that was you, and I saw you bring it to pass. I know that wasn't me. That wasn't my thought. That wasn't my ability. It was you, God. Anybody ever have experiences like that? Amen. Where somebody asks you something, you don't know what to tell them or how to encourage them or how to get them through the grief that they're facing. And then God just bring a scripture or a quote to your remembrance. And you begin to talk down through those lines and it just changed the whole atmosphere. And you recognize that wasn't my intelligence. That wasn't my personality. That wasn't anything I could take credit for. It was Jesus Christ. Amen. And he can use each and every one of you. Let me read the first part of that quote again to make sure we caught it. He said, any group of people, any gathering of holiness people that believe in Christ has the right to have the 9 spiritual gifts. You believe we fit into this category that he's talking about tonight? Amen. Questions and Answers, Part 2, 1964. Now we must be careful because he tells us Satan can impersonate any of those gifts. Satan can impersonate any of those gifts. That's why he said if somebody gave forth a prophecy or gave forth tongues and interpretation and it didn't come to pass the way that he said it, he said, I would never let them do it again until they got that lying spirit off of them. So it's not something to play around with. It's something that we take very seriously because Satan can try to come in and impersonate any of these gifts. This is what flourished all through the Pentecostal denomination is there were real true people that had the gift of tongues and interpretation. Brother Branham even saw some of them. Some of them were real true Christians. Some of them were anointed ones at the end time that had the real true gift, but yet not living a godly life. You say, how can that be, Brother Nathan? It's scriptural. Gifts and callings are without repentance. I had a gift to preach the gospel when I was 3 or 4 years old, walking around my parents' living room with the tape recorder. I felt that call and I felt that gift, but it didn't mean I had the Holy Ghost yet. But the gift was still there. Many of you, maybe you had gifts to sing and you was out in a bar maybe or something like that. And maybe you was singing in a honky-tonk or playing music in a honky-tonk. You thought, well, I can't be here one night and come to church and do that the next. So God had to get a hold of you and mold your life, but the gift was in you all the time. But Satan can come and impersonate any of those gifts, so we have to make sure that it's God. How are you going to know that it's God, Brother Nathan? You can usually tell by whether it's scriptural or not, and whether the person that's doing it is trying to glorify God, or whether they're saying, hey, look at me, everybody. Because a real true Holy Ghost person won't say, hey, look at me. They'll say, hey, look at him. Look at Jesus. Look to the cross. Look to the messenger that he sent us in this day. They won't wave their own flag and say, hey, fly under Nathan Bryant's flag. I have no flag for you to fly under except the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Church Order 1958. And to the laity and the dear gifted saints that's in our church, those who prophesy or speak with tongues or interpret or may have or have revelations, we are just so happy to have you in the service. And we will give you full cooperation in everything that the Holy Spirit shall prove that he has said to you. And we love you and we believe that these gifts are in you. See how he treated gifted people that had gifts in their lives? He didn't say, hey, you better not try to use that gift around here, buddy, or the deacons will march you out the back door and we'll embarrass you in front of everybody. He said, we love you And we're here to give you full cooperation. But he did give a stipulation. If it's something that the Holy Ghost shall prove that he said to you. We believe that these gifts are in you. And if you have a right opportunity and a scripturally presentation of it, that you will make great workers in our midst. And may the Lord bless you all is my sincere prayer. Amen. I'm not looking to do the whole job on my own so that everybody can say, hey, goodness gracious, look at Brother Nathan. He's here, there, and everywhere. I'm looking for some great workers in our midst that can come and do their part, that can come and visit. You know, I believe a pastor should visit the sick, and I believe he should pray for the sick, and I believe he should do those things. But I also believe that it's not just for the pastor, but that it's every one of our obligation to go and do something. To try to help somebody, try to encourage somebody, take a meal to somebody, to go and pray for somebody, go and try to encourage somebody that's down. You say, but you know, I thought that was just for the pastor and the deacons to do. Well, hey, the pastor and the deacons are supposed to do it. But remember, when they got there to the judgment, and Jesus said, that man stood up and said, when were you sick and I didn't visit you? And when was you naked and I didn't clothe you? When was I in prison? He didn't just say it was just a bunch of pastors up there. He said, as you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. Oh, we need some great workers. We're blessed. We have a lot of great workers. Amen. But I believe there's more that God's trying to stir up and use. And there maybe some of you is just still trying to find your place and find your position. Lord, how would you use me? What do you have for me to do? But don't just sit on your hands and wait for him to strike lightning, but begin to step out a little in faith and see. And Brother Bam said, usually how you can tell if you're called to do it or not, if you can do it. I've seen some preachers that thought they was called, and I could tell Brother Jimmy not to be their judge, but they wasn't called because they couldn't do it. Right. Or when it got popular, they were ashamed to do it. If God calls you, you don't care whether it's popular or not. If God calls you, you don't care whether your boss makes fun of you, whether your family makes fun of you, whether the guy across the pew makes fun of you or not. If God calls you to do something, if God calls you to stand up and give a testimony, don't you worry about what your neighbor thinks. Amen. I'm not here to please my neighbor. As much as I love my parents, I'm not here to pastor a church to please them and for them to say, I appreciate it that they're proud of me, but I didn't start a church so that they'd say, oh, we're so proud of Nathan. Amen. If I did, then that was a lousy excuse to start a church. Amen. I appreciate that they're proud of me, but that's not my reason. I appreciate the kind words and things like that, but I'm not here fishing for a kind word. I'm here to try to do what he's calling me to do. There's many things I've said tonight I had no intention of saying tonight, but when he's pushing from behind you, you can either say, Lord, I'm not going to say that and regret it later, or you can just let it fly. And as Brother Bram said, let the chips fall where they lay. Patmos Vision 1960. That's exactly what started the church in its chaos at the beginning. They'd taken all the solemnity from the audience and placed it in the pulpit. But God is the God of the audience. He works in every human being. He lives in every heart that he can get into. He finds those gifted people and works through them. Amen. How many slip up your hands tonight and say, Lord, work through me. Lord, work through me. You don't have to work through me like you work through Brother Nathan or Brother Hoover or Brother Furman or whoever it be. Lord, I'm not looking to be a carbon copy of anybody, but work through me. Amen. Speak through me. Talk through me. Walk through me. Lead me. Guide me. Work through me. Help me to be a worker, Lord, for the kingdom of God. Use me when I'm down at Walmart. Use me when I'm over at the grocery store. Use me in the restaurant. Don't use me to be some stuck up something that won't shake somebody's hand because they don't fellowship at the same church as me, or because I'm afraid I'll get their germs or whatever it be. God, use me to be an example. Use me to be a light in this age. Use me on my job. Use me in my school. Help me not to be ashamed to testify of what you've done for me everywhere I go, Lord. Amen. Lord, I just show me a place where you can use me. If it's underneath a car, working on a car, Lord, use me there. If it's in an old house, tearing it down and rebuilding it as a carpenter or whatever it be, use me there. Bring somebody by my way that I can witness to while I've got my hammer in my hand. Lord, somebody, maybe a dad or different ones doing plumbing work. Lord, while I got that torch in my hand, soldering that pipe, bring somebody by my way that I can tell about God, sending a prophet. While I'm down there working on that assembly line, putting things together, put somebody right beside me that's a predestinated seed that I can witness to. Oh, work through me, Lord. Use me how you see fit. I thank God that he has used me how he has. I pray that I can keep yielding so that he can use me more than he has in the pulpit and out at different places. But I thank God for how he's used me, with ministry and things like that. But I don't want it to stop at that back door. I want him to use me wherever I go. When I'm filling up my car with gas, Lord, send somebody along that's got a hungry heart that I can say something about God and it just click and them start asking about what you're still doing in this age. Use me, Lord. Work through me. Amen. Is that your desire tonight? Let's bow our heads together. Oh, Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the working of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your anointing. Lord, all I know to do is just be true to the gifts that you've placed in my life, Lord. Speak where you would have me to speak and be silent where you would have me to be silent. Lord, we want all of your word. We want your truth. Lord, we want the manifestation of your spirit in our midst. Lord, not so that we can say, look what we did. Look what our church is doing. Look what a great something I am. Oh, but Lord, our desire is that you would use us so that we could be a help to somebody else. Lord, so that we could find that place that we could be used. Lord, where you could use us most effectively. Father, there may be some that maybe they've tried to witness and just don't seem like they ever have the word or the ability to do it. Lord, maybe that's just the devil trying to keep them from it. But Lord, maybe their gift isn't to be a street preacher or to be somebody that can witness like a house on a windy day on fire. But Lord, maybe their gift is to slip alone into their prayer closet and pray for the pastor or to pray for some that are going out and doing those things, to pray for the missionaries, to pray for those that are getting the books and the tapes into the people's hand, for those that are translating the sermons into other languages. Lord, maybe you called them to pray for others. Maybe they're an intercessor. Lord, maybe you gave them faith that when somebody else is going through a trial, they can stand there and unwavering, be able to stand and just share the love that's in their heart for the word and share how their faith came by hearing of the word and encourage someone else to stay in the word so that it would quicken their faith too, Lord. Maybe you've blessed them, Lord, to where maybe it seemed like every time they pray for somebody, there's testimonies that come forth from it. Lord, maybe you've gifted them in that way to pray for the sick or to pray for the needy, or maybe you've done great supernatural things in their life, or Lord, whatever it would be, maybe you've given wisdom to where when somebody's trying to figure something out and has a trial or a problem, you've given them a gift of wisdom or a gift of knowledge to be able to say, look, well, did you ever think about this? Or maybe give them unction to remind them of a quote or a scripture to share with somebody at the right time when they needed it. And Lord, I believe you work through all those things. I don't think it has to be some super duper worked up something that everybody sees and that to get our name and lights and things like that. Sometimes it's done just so quietly that nobody else knows, but the one that's doing the speaking and the one that's doing the hearing. Lord, maybe you anoint, Lord, a humble housewife to be an encouragement to her children or to some other sister that she's in contact with that's going through a trial, and maybe she doesn't have the words to speak. Maybe she doesn't have a gift, Lord, to speak in tongues or interpret. And Lord, we know you wouldn't have called her to be a minister in the pulpit. But Lord, maybe you've called her that. Lord, maybe she just stays in the word all the time, loves to listen to tapes. And every time she's talking to somebody on the phone, they only have negative to say and want to talk about all the terrible things going on in their life. And all of a sudden she begins to say, you know what, I heard a tape today and Brother Branham said this, and it encouraged me so much where I'm at in my life. And that person begins to slowly change out of that dark, discouraging conversation. Oh my, I haven't heard that tape. What year was that? And they go and they begin to play it in their home and they begin to think about the word instead of all their trials and persecutions and how poor and pitiful they are and what a miserable condition that they feel like they're in and nobody loves them and everything's going wrong. And all of a sudden they begin to hear the prophet's voice speak through their house. Good evening, friends. And the atmosphere begins to change as they get their mind on the Word instead of all their problems. And you use that little housewife to encourage them on the phone to do it. Oh, they can use that same phone to gossip and tear somebody down, but they can use it to encourage somebody to listen to a tape or to pick up their Bible and read it or to let them know that somebody loves them and is praying for them. God, use us any way you see fit. Whether it's something in front of thousands of people or whether it's texting somebody a quote or a scripture, whatever it would be, use us as you see fit, Father. Lord, it's not about popularity. It's not about our name in lights or whether everybody pats us on the back or not. It's, Lord, how would you use me? Lord, if it's just to slip out of bed at 3 a.m. because you put a burden on our heart and we pray for somebody and maybe they never even know it, then they tell us maybe months later, you know, I was driving home late one night and a semi-truck about toppled over on me, but God did something supernatural and just righted it back up. What time was that? Oh, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning that night that you were down praying for him. God, I believe you work like that. It doesn't have to be a public show, but it's just about being in your will, being in a channel where you can use us. Oh, help us, Jesus, from the least to the greatest, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest. Lord, there's no big I's and little U's. It's a many-membered body of Christ. And Lord, here we sit as part of a local body. Let us not sit stagnant and just depend on the pastor or the song leader or the deacons to try to carry us through. But Lord, help each one of us to do our part. Lord, whether it seems humble, whether it seems like we won't get recognition for it, Lord, we don't care if we ever get recognition for it or not. Just help us to find your will and to walk in it. Help us, Jesus. Be with each one, Lord, whether they're 5 years old or whether they're 90 years old. I believe you can speak through them and use them. Oh, God, I remember even as a little child, you using me to encourage people that I didn't even know were going through some of the things they were going through. God, that wasn't me. That was you. I didn't even know the needs. I didn't know the situations. God, if you could do it with me, I'm nobody special. You can do it with these other 5 and 7 and 12-year-olds, whatever they would be, 13, 15, 40, whatever age it is, you can use them, Lord. Oh, help us to stay in a channel where we could be used by you, Lord. Help us to stay in contact with you to where you could let us know when you want to use us, Father. Be with each one, I pray. Anoint them in their own way, Father. I don't want them to be carbon copies of me or Brother Trevor or Brother Arnie, any of these brothers. Lord, we're not interested in carbon copies of us, but Lord, if you just fill them with your Spirit and you just lead them and guide them to what you have for them, Lord, then I feel like the desire of our heart will be accomplished, Lord. If we can just get people to find their place in you, help us, Lord. Mold us and make us into what you'd have us be. In Jesus Christ's name. Oh, we pray, Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Is that your desire tonight? Surely there's a work. Oh, help us. Lord, may each one find that work that you'd have them to do. Oh, and even though just help my will to crumble, though the cost be great, I'll work. Why don't we stand and sing it to him tonight? Just worship him. He's worthy of it. Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse. Surely there's that I can do. Yes, Lord. Oh, and even though it's humble, help my will to crumble, and though let's sing it this way tonight. Dear Lord, I'll be a witness. Dear Lord. don't you slip up your hand and worship him tonight? Make it a prayer. Oh, Jesus. Oh, it's more than a song. And oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely. Lord, for each one tonight, they have a word that they can do.
The Apostle Paul or David, and asking the Apostle Paul, you know, what was it like when that snake bit you and you just shook it off? I'm looking forward to a meeting in the air. You looking forward to that?
Amen. You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. Oh, you have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph. And of Jonah and the whale you often sing. Oh, there are many, many others in the Bible. Oh, I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely let us meet them at that meeting in the air. There is going to be a meeting in the air. Oh, I am going to meet you, greet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Oh, such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It'll be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son, He'll be the leading one at that meeting in. Missing at that meeting, for the mourner's bench will have no place at all, and there will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinner had refused to heed the call, and there will be no mourning over wayward loved one, there will be no lonely nights of pleading prayer, all of mourning's and our angels. voice will be lifted at that meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air. Oh, in that sweet, sweet by and by. Oh, I am going to meet you, greet you over there in that home beyond. Skeptics will be absent on that day. There will be no grumblers present to disturb us, and the Aikens will be busy far away. There the saints will have his seal upon their foreheads, dressed in raiment none but ransom ones can wear. All who have the wedding garment will be present at that in the end. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air. Oh, in that sweet by and by. Oh, I am going to meet you, greet you over there, home beyond the sky. Oh, such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It'll be glorious, I do.
Till, it's good to have you back, brother. Would you come and just dismiss us in prayer? Amen. Sure appreciate the word of the Lord tonight. That was wonderful. Appreciate a pastor who will follow the Spirit of the Lord and speak what God gives him to. It sure was timely, and I enjoyed it.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so glad, Lord, that we were here tonight, Lord. And Lord, you have anointed our brother, Lord, to speak what we need, Lord. And we're so thankful, Lord God, and may we all yield and do our part, Lord God. Every one of us, Father, find our place in the body of Christ, Lord, and be a blessing for those that are in need, Lord, wherever they are, and we all in need, Lord God, and may you help all of us, Father God. Those that came in sick, Lord God, may they go from here well, Father. May the faith of Jesus Christ just rise up in their hearts, Lord God, to such a level, Lord, that they would not be sick no more, Father God. For you have already healed us, Lord God, by your stripes, Father. We thank you, Father God. And as we go from this place, we pray that your presence will be with every one of us, Lord God. And until we meet again, Lord God, may your grace cover us and keep us, and keep us ready, Lord God, should you come even now, Lord. May we all be there, Lord, with you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Sing this little chorus as we go.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Oh, once I was lost, now I'm found. Now my soul is heaven bound. I thank you, Lord, for saving me. Setting me free. Once I was lost, now my soul is heaven bound. I thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Once I was lost, now I'm found, and now my soul is heaven bound. I thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Once I was lost, now I'm found, and now my soul is heaven bound. I thank you, Lord, for saving me.